Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Things you won't hear in a gardening program.
Last week, you were complaining about rabbits being rampant in your garden and being a pest. But let me tell you, I've got a rampant rabbit, and when it's in my garden, it causes nothing but joy.
I've been having terrible trouble with a mole. He keeps on passing confidential information to other gardeners.
See, here we see we've got a nice rockery over there, and there's a lovely fountain we put in, and next to that is the tree of knowledge. You will not eat from the tree of knowledge!
If your lawn suffers from patchy grass, just grow it long one side and comb it over.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak. Right.
I got to figure out what mics to turn on this morning. I got a boatload of people here in the studio.
That'd be mics 1, 2, and 4?
I would think 1, 2, 4, skip 3.
How's that? 3.
You know, I could turn yours off, too. That would be real easy, Denny. I would just, you know, I just kind of hit this button and and you're...
Hey, hello?
You're still
hi,
there.
Hi, my name is Dennis. Where'd it go? You're cruel, man.
I am. I'm just showing you who's in charge here.
Understandable.
Okay. Good morning. It's Sunday. I'm not running a marathon. Oh, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful. I heard you guys talking about it on Our Town this morning. And I'm also grateful that our showcase studios here are not anywhere near downtown. When I worked for Gargantua Radio down the dial, and marathon days were the worst. There was one show I almost didn't get to my show. I couldn't get to the show. They won't let you cross the street. They won't let you go anywhere. And I couldn't get downtown. It's like, I think I'm going to have to phone this one in literally.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Them runners, I tell you.
You know, that's okay, though. That's what they want to do. And they got nice, cool weather for it. I like that. All very happy that the weather's nice and cool, so they're not dropping like flies over.
I remember hearing about that years ago.
My niece posted, my niece said to me this morning, I feel really sorry for those people when I explained it was 26 miles that they were running. I feel really sorry for them. I said, no, they do it by choice. She just couldn't comprehend it.
By choice. I know, 26 miles plus. What? Why are you doing this? I don't know, because I have a social imperative. I have, I don't know. That, by the way, is Lisa Albrecht, who is, I've stolen her from Mighty House.
Yeah, I know. She was a Mighty House last week.
Woo-hoo.
What are you doing?
I'm happy to be stolen.
That's right. She's now.
I go cheap.
Oh, yeah, like free. All I got to do is, you know, Sarah Batka's here today, too, and Sarah knows you just bring in the munchkins and people show up. Like Lisa.
So that's why I came. I heard.
You're allowed to say hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. Can I say hi to Frank, my neighbor Frank, who called in 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
He's running the marathon this morning. So go, Frank.
Nice.
Well, he's not listening. He's running the marathon, unless he's got the earbuds
He'll
on.
He'll download the podcast when he gets home.
Hey, Frank, what's wrong with you?
Okay. Shout out to there. So we've got Lisa.
That was a shout at, not a shout out.
Exactly. I think you're right.
Yeah.
What the heck is the matter with you? I'm yelling at you. Yeah. Yeah, you.
It's like we're there.
You people. True. And all the people who are running the marathon and now listening to the podcast later in the day, just their feelings are so hurt. They're just so hurt. No, they're not. You know, because they got all those, what's the endorphins that get kicking? But you know what? When you get to 26 miles, don't the endorphins, you left them 16 miles ago.
Couldn't tell you. I've never done that in my life, and nor do I plan to.
I mean,
26 miles.
By the time you finish a marathon, from what I understand, you've used up all the sugars and starches and all the energy, and now you're consuming parts of your body. You're consuming vital organs just to stay alive and finish the race, right? Isn't that the way that works?
I think you got it. I think you nailed it.
You know, you leave a race and half of your pancreas is still on Michigan Avenue someplace, okay? If that's what you want to do. We have a ton of stuff on the show today. Like I said, I have in the studio Lisa Albrecht, you're not actually with the Illinois Solar Energy Association anymore, are you?
I mean, I'm not on the board of directors, but I do work on a lot of the policy issues.
Yeah, okay.
And
right.
So I am on various committees.
All right,
trying to push solar in Illinois.
I'll fix that when I get home, what I have on the website. Formerly on the board is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Still with.
And you did had the solar tour yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was a beautiful day for solar. I could not believe what a great – in the past couple years we've had just black, ominous skies that really kind of kept the crowds away. So I haven't actually heard, you know, how many people came out, but I know over at the Universalist Church in Elgin we had a really nice crowd. In fact, I think 8 stumbled in at about 2:30 in the afternoon.
They thought they were running the marathon, and it was 24 hours early, right?
But it was we got some amazing pictures. We had electric cars out there. We had solar. We had a labyrinth out in the back. It was just a really fun place to spend a whole day.
And learn about solar energy.
Yeah, you know, and people had some really fantastic questions. We had a number of folks that were really worried about the payback period, and so we got a chance to talk about that. People were, you know, concerned about, you know, whether you could produce solar here in Illinois because of our weather. And so it was great to kind of debunk that myth that solar works everywhere.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. People take that stuff way too literally, don't they? They you know, if it's a cloudy day, the sun is not shining. How can you possibly generate power? It's just crazy stuff.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. People think that solar needs to be perfect, but boy, gosh, coal isn't. So
I know.
Live with that. So, you know, I think you can live with solar on a cloudy day.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's it. And shall we repeat the mantra? There is no such thing as clean coal. There is no. And even if President Obama says that, he's wrong. Okay.
There is no such thing.
Just, you know, when he gets into the next debate and he mentions the words clean coal, or Mitt Romney mentions the words clean coal, throw a tennis shoe at the TV. All right. At that point,
I tried to behave Wednesday night, but once there were a few. Lies coming out on, I'm just going to call
lies.
It, but just specifically on renewables and clean energy and some of that stuff, that's when I just
I'll tell you
started
what.
Hitting Facebook
tell me,
hard.
Tell me, give me a couple of those lies that came
out. Well, you know, one of the things that he said was that half of the clean tech companies have failed that received stimulus money, and that was way off. You know, there were 3 companies, I believe, that have, and when you look at the percentages, I think it's, you know, a very, very small margin. And we worry about, you know, Solyndra got a lot of press. You know, and that was about $500 million. But on average, China spends about $13 trillion investment in solar alone. And we're worried about $500 million failure for Solyndra. Our measurements and where we're looking for innovation is just so far off track. It's, you know, and we wonder why we're behind. when we're not willing to spend the money and we're worried about, you know, failures. Failures happen in all industries. Right. I was in the dot-com industry in 2000. Trust me, failures happened there. You know, and so every industry is going to go through change, and we're about to see a lot of changes coming up with solar, with foreclosures and, you know, companies that are closing down. But we'll find, you know, the right companies will float to the top.
So we have to stay the course. We have to invest in solar. That's just
And we don't really have an option. We don't have an option. No. You know, whether you believe in climate change or not, which I definitely do, one of the big challenges is that we have a growing population worldwide, a high demand in energy, and a low supply. And so we are going to start paying more, not because of who's drilling in the Arctic and who's not drilling in Alaska, but more because we just have supply and demand issues worldwide. So as we continue to evolve as a species across the planet and third world countries become second world and third, you know, first world countries, we're going to have more competition for that energy.
But Lisa, do you have any opinions about this?
One or two.
I'm just kind of
one or two.
Wow. That's good.
Got me started on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, with a Lisa Albrecht rant, and I'm going to give a plug to Solar Service Inc, which is her
my
company.
Employer?
Your employer? Yeah. I mean, because you don't have to take a day off to come here, but you are here on your day off. So exactly. I appreciate that. And of course, Sarah Batka, the lovely Sarah Batka, already tweeting away. I see you've got something up there. How are you?
I'm good.
Master gardener, coordinator,
extraordinaire.
Yes. Extraordinaire. Yes, you may say that. What do we need to know about master gardeners this week?
I'm pretty busy interviewing the candidates for the incoming 2013 class. So I'm really
excited
to meet them.
So you are the gatekeeper on that? You decide who gets into the class? How does that work?
Along with a team. We're looking for people who are going to make good volunteers. So we're looking for people who are interested in learning and sharing their knowledge with others. Our motto is helping others learn to grow.
And you can only get so many Master Gardener candidates each year. It's you got to get in line. Now, there's still a chance for people to apply for the Master Gardener course?
Not in Chicago, but I believe Chicago Botanic Gardens, their applications are still open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you would want to see Jill Selinger up at Chicago Botanic Gardens.
I know Jill, yes. Mm-hmm. That's where I took my Master Gardener training, up at the Chicago Botanic Garden. It's a beautiful place to do that. So that's Sarah Batka on the show today. Like I said, lots of stuff. And let's get, yes, sir, Denny, what?
Oh, no, I was just going to say 10 o'clock, you were talking about how we're going to do that simulcast.
Yes,
I'm interested in this.
Very exciting day. Okay.
It's going to be crazy.
At 10 o'clock, we go to Nova Scotia. In fact, we are sharing the airwaves with Nikki Jabour, who does a radio talk show in Nova Scotia, in Halifax. Her show is The Weekend Gardener. In fact, this is her last show of the season, and then she comes back in the spring. I do this all year. Of course, I don't talk just about gardening. But Nikki and I will share the airwaves in the 10 o'clock hour. Before then, of course, Rick DeMaio weather at 9:45. Before that, in just a couple of minutes, have we got Joe on the line? We'll get to Joe Lample, who also is known as AKA Joe Gardner. And you might know Joe Gardner if you are a fan of Growing a Greener World the television show. And he's on radio. He's everywhere. He writes, and he's, you know, very fancy guy. And we'll get to him in a second. And then in the last half hour, we're going to talk to Nancy Rotering, who's the mayor of Highland Park, and Gary Kunin, who's with Seven Generations Ahead. Greentown Highland Park is coming up. We talked a couple of weeks ago. You might remember that we talked about Greentown in Valparaiso, Indiana. Greentown is coming to Highland Park, and then it's going to Toledo. I see that Joe Lample is texting me as well. He's probably saying, "Where are you?" No, he's. We'll get him in a second. Anyway, Greentown Highland Park coming up on the.
The 17th or the 18th is the pre-conference, but then the 18th is
18th and 19th, and they've got this great topic, which, and I'm going to have to show up and be there. Waste Not, Advancing Commercial Food Scrap Collection in the Chicago Area. And it's something we need to address. That's not happening. We're not, we've got the waste stream, which is comprised of fully 30% organic materials, and we just throw it away. Unless you're composting it in your backyard, which is a great thing. I just throw most of my stuff in the compost pile. But we have to find a way to do this on a on larger scale and address that issue. It is, you know, and I talk about recycling all the time. It's a recycling issue, basically. It's recycling our organic matter. We'll talk to them about Greentown, Highland Park, all that today on the Mike Novak Show. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring in the man, the legend, Joe Lample, with the strangest last name in horticulture. And people don't know it. It's spelled L-A-M-P apostrophe L. What happened? Did somebody leave off a vowel? I'm trying to figure out how that works, Joe.
After all the years, I finally found out the what I think is the real answer just a few years ago, and it's an Austrian heritage. But apparently, it was simply, this is not a sexy story, I hate to tell you this, but it was an administrative error on the paper, and it was basically a scratch-out. And whiteout didn't exist back then, and whoever the authority was for the immigration guy, they said, just leave it there. And that scratch-out became an apostrophe at some point. But in Austria, to this day, there is Lample Lane, and there's street signs with that name and the apostrophe, so go figure.
Really?
Yeah,
wow, it's actually kind of an interesting story. You know, I love the stories of the people who come to this country and the first thing that happens to them is their name gets butchered.
Yeah.
Welcome to America.
Until I found out the real origin, people were interested in this name and they would take it upon themselves to try to determine the origin of the name and the meaning of it. And at one point, somebody came back and said, "Oh, it means tail of a little lamb." And I'm like, I don't think I want to tell that story. That's not sexy enough. So I converted that to Brave Mountain Warrior. But, you know, somehow people weren't buying it.
Well, you know, you can say anything you want, really.
Right.
I mean, as long as
who's going to know?
Right.
And say it with authority.
Exactly. Yeah, and say it, you know, we've learned in politics, say it long enough and loud enough, people will believe anything, pretty much anything. Yeah.
Because really, who's going to look it up?
Well, especially if it's just about your last name, really,
yeah.
Joe, who's
going to
look that up?
But, shoot, totally.
But, you know, the best thing you did was ditch that horrible last name and go for Joe Gardner.
Well, you know, it's just sort of a moniker. I Joe Lample's the Joe behind Joe Gardner. And that's an easy one for people to remember if they could just spell it with the extra E in Gardner. I can't tell you how many times people want to just say Gardner without that E. And then they go send me an email or something, and it never gets to me because there's a guy in Texas by the name of Joe Gardner, and he gets all of my emails. And sometimes he forwards them to me. He's very nice about that. But I know I don't get everyone.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking I went about it the wrong way. See, I've got this crazy Polish last name, Novak. Well, first of all, nobody can pronounce it. Second of all, nobody can spell it. Third of all, people complain about it. They don't like the way I pronounce it. And it's my name, but they don't like it. You know, so I'm thinking I got to go with Mike. I was trying out some on my website here. Mike Mulch, Mike Manure, Mike Mildew. Mike Microclimate. How about Mike Mitosis? Hey, it's Mike Mitosis.
I like Microclimate.
You like Mike Microclimate? I can't even say it. Oh, Denny likes Mike Microclimate as well. You like that one, huh?
Going for Micro Machine, but, you know, Microclimate's good.
Okay.
Mike Macro.
Yeah, I think it should just be Mike Microclimate.
Yeah.
What was that?
Just the single mic. Microclimate.
And Joe, and you had...
I like Mike Macrophylla or Mike...
Yeah, but here's the problem, Joe. Some people are going to say, it's Macrophylla.
Yeah. You're right. Now we're back to the same problem again.
Exactly. As my friend Jennifer Brennan says, and I've said this on the show before, Jennifer says, I always say, well, is it Macrophylla or Macrophylla? And she says, it doesn't matter. Nobody speaks the language anymore.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. I said I one time was on a television interview in San Francisco and was talking about leaves, and I say foliage. And when I got back to Atlanta, there was a voicemail message, a nasty voicemail message from a lady that watched the show, and she said, would you tell the idiot in the orange shirt who was doing the garden segment, a la me, that it's foliage. And while he's at it, have him tell Martha, too, because she says foliage, too. And I'm like, wow, this lady's really got some issues.
Well, then I can't even imagine what happens at Christmas time. Okay, I say poinsettia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who say poinsettia should be strung up by their thumbs. well, how do you pronounce it, Joe? I suppose I should have asked you first.
No, I'm poinsettia. I'm a poinsettia guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I did that several years ago, and we went round and round and round on how to pronounce poinsettia.
Now, are you a clematis or a clematis guy?
Believe it or not, I kind of switched over to clematis a few years ago because it's so highbrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say okay, Sarah, Becca, what's your pronunciation? What do you use?
I'm a clematis.
You're a clematis. That's very Midwestern.
Mm.
Lisa, do you have a preference?
Clematis, I didn't even know there was an option.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Oh.
I only knew clematis was I have. How do you say the other one?
Clematis.
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 Not heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you sip your tea and.
I'll try to impress my friends.
Nah, it won't. They'll just say, what? Do you mean clematis? So there you go. Have we got any others? Have we straightened out all the pronunciation? There's got to be one.
There are more, but I'm sure the listeners are probably saying, what are we talking about today?
Yeah. Well, one of the things we're talking about is you just wrapped Growing a Greener World.
For the season 3, 26 more episodes to follow the other 26 and the 26 before that. And for those that don't know, not that you've asked, Mike, but basically for those that are unfamiliar with the show, we are a national show through public television, and we travel the country to tell the stories of people and places doing great things for the planet with an emphasis always on gardening and organic gardening and healthy outdoor living and eco-sustainable lifestyles and sort of that garden-to-table movement. So we're all about, you know, if people will read what your show's about, we're all about what your show's about. We're just doing it through television pretty much.
And you are competing with me, which I really appreciate.
Here's the good news. At 10 o'clock, we're on in your area.
Yeah.
But that's an hour from now, so people can listen to this and
No, you know, it's okay because I come on Saturday mornings and I just started by finally broke into television this year Dig In Chicago. And that's 10 a.m. on Saturdays. So that's what I was doing going on Mighty House on Saturday mornings and saying, and at 10 o'clock, please turn off the radio and turn on the TV and watch me. You know, we're just doing too much stuff, Joe. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's everybody. But the great thing is everybody's got. DVRs. They've got.
Yeah.
I've got podcasts. You've got podcasts.
Yep.
So if you want to watch Growing a Greener World, don't do it today, but tape it 10 a.m. on WTTW Channel 11 in Chicago. That's where you can. And man, how did you manage to get a 10 a.m. Sunday? Come on.
We're an award-winning show, Mike. You know, word's gotten out.
Ow!
That was a burn.
Ow!
Okay in there?
Yeah, no, I'm hurting. It's like I feel like I just ran a marathon and I got nothing left in the tank here. Oh, gee.
Oh, I'm sorry. But all our episodes are also online. If people want to watch it at their leisure 24/7, anywhere they are, it's growingagreenerworld.com. All of our episodes that have been on television are also viewable on our website.
Cool.
And
that's the way everybody does it. So we do it with Dig In Chicago as well. You know, if you miss it, you just go to the website and you take a look at it. And, you know, this is Joe Lample here, the man with a really, really weird last name. This is the guy who calls me, like, I don't know, 7 years ago and says, hey, I'm starting a radio show. Can you give me some pointers? All right. Now he's award-winning and stuff. And, geez.
That was your
it was all the great
teaching.
Advice I got from you. Advice that launched me.
I think so.
Yeah,
and now I'm spitting out the dust from your wake.
Wow, here. I'm excited. Where will I be heading?
That's right. Oh, Lisa, now see, you're giving ideas to Lisa here.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably actually talk some horticulture.
Okay,
that's not a bad idea. Tell me about this season here in the Midwest it was an interesting year and I'm imagine that you've seen a lot of this too because you talk to a lot of people starting with crazy March where we had 80 degree days for like 10 80-degree days in a row here in the Midwest and elsewhere. And then, of course, heat and drought in the summer. Then now early fall, it feels like. There's no such thing as a normal gardening season, is there, Joe?
No, and that's what keeps us on our toes and always makes us optimistically look forward to, you know, the next season is that no 2 years or seasons are the same. I love that about gardening. And, you know, just when you think you've got it figured out, Mother Nature reminds you that you do not. And no matter how much you know, there's always more to learn. But the weather is the wild card, the perpetual wild card. But that, to me, is that element of mystery that just keeps it always so exciting.
Yeah. And in some seasons, you're telling people, trying to get them to figure out how to dry out their plants. And this year, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
Yeah.
As we go into the fall, especially your trees and shrubs. I'm going to be hammering that a little later in this show. One of the things that happens in the fall, and I don't know if you notice it so much where you are, because I know you're based in Atlanta. And before that, you were based in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Here it gets cool, and then folks get faked out. They think it's wet. They equate coolness with wetness, but it can be cool and dry.
It usually is cool and dry because typically, especially in the wintertime, you know, even though you might have snow on the ground, the air is much, much drier. And people forget that, you know, even though the leaves are gone, the roots are still taking up moisture, not as much, but they're, you know, they need that supply. And with the air being so dry, the moisture that's needed is when it's dry, the air is pulled from the soil. You know, that evaporation takes place much more quickly. So we need to keep the plants hydrated as well. But to me, Mike, you know, all these changes in the weather from year to year remind me to always be sure that I'm going back to the basics. Because when you're, you know, using the appropriate plants and you're improving the soil and you're mulching, you know, you're giving whatever you plant a great foundation for whatever Mother Nature is throwing at you. And you've got to start right there at the beginning with the basics. And if you do that, you're going to get ahead of the curve, or at least give yourself the best chance possible that these plants are going to weather the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, the basics, as many of us learn, start with the soil and everything that goes on down there. And the best thing you can do for your soil is to enrich the biology in it, yeah. However, and that starts with compost and, you know, organic matter that is going to feed those microorganisms, which in turn feed your plants. And that's kind of how that works.
Yes. And let me just jump in here on this time of year, because, you know, people are saying, yeah, I hear this all the time. And then they think, well, where do I really get this compost? And, you know, I know you've talked about where it's, you know, the kitchen and the yard debris. But in the fall, Mother Nature is giving us the best supply of compost possible through all the leaves that land on the ground. And I don't know about where you live, but I'm so used to seeing people in my neighbors, you know, blowing the leaves off their yard onto the street where the truck comes by and sucks it up. Yeah. And I'm just going, can I have your leaves, please? Can you blow them into my yard so that I can mow over them with a mulching mower and then rake them into my beds and allow them to break down right there, and then I have this incredible soil a few years later. And I call it TV soil because the soil becomes so soft and lush that you can, like, basically plunge your arm into it.
Yeah.
And we're talking the Southeast where the soil is like hard clay, like as hard as cement where you're starting. But when you continue to do that for a few seasons, you get this amazing soil, and that's like an unlimited supply in the fall.
That is a really good point. And you can go to the lawns too as well. We have to get away from that old mentality that neatness is close to godliness. We're just so terrified that there's going to be a leaf in the garden or on the lawn or a blade of grass that got cut and isn't swept away and put in the garbage and sent to a landfill. And that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. We have to start reusing what nature gives us.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. I've done the same thing. I'll go down the block and grab bags of leaves that people have put out there and bring them back to my place. Lisa, you look like...
I have a question. So, okay, so I'm a bagger. And so,
oh my goodness!
Well, I know.
I can't believe you admitted that.
I'm
here.
I'm sorry, but so because I've always lived in. Right now, that's what all my neighbors do. So, if I do take those leaves, do I? You mentioned Joe mulching them up. Do I need to? I don't have a lawnmower. So do I just? Can I just pile those same exact leaves, or do I need to do something to them to get them to start breaking down?
No, that's a great question. There's a couple things you can do. First of all, you don't have to do anything because Mother Nature, you know, if you go out in the woods, it's the luscious growth there. Nobody's going out there fertilizing or watering the plants, but, you know, those leaves are going to break down from their original state to ultimately soil if you do nothing. Now, it just takes longer. So the reason why I say I like to mulch them up is that the smaller the organic matter going in, the quicker it breaks down into soil. So I'm in a hurry, you know, and I want to get it to compost as fast as possible. But if you do nothing and just get them into your beds, for example, they will break down. But they're more inclined to blow away because you've got a larger surface to catch the wind, so you might lose them to that. But the other thing that you can do, if you just have a regular mower, you have the leaves spew out the side, that's going to chop them up a lot. But even if you don't have a mower and you have like a weed whacker and a plastic garbage can, you can just dump the leaves into the can and then like a immersible blender. You know, you just put the weed whacker into the plastic garbage can with all the leaves, and it's like a blender. It just chops them up into really fine pieces, just like the mulching mower would. And then you pick up that can and dump it where you want.
And the other, you know, I'll tell you the other thing you can do if the leaves are dry enough, you leave them in a plastic bag and then jump up and down on the plastic bag, and it's going to break them down too. Yep. I mean, it's just a lot of different ways you can do it. And as long as they're not all matted together, you're not really going to have a problem. I have taken some winters, I have just, if I didn't have time to mess with them, I'll punch some holes in a plastic bag and leave it out and let water get into it. And be able to drain out of it and let nature do its thing.
That's the part I was going to say, Mike. If you allow water to get into that plastic bag, that in a season is going to break them down. And because you've got the heat that's, you know, radiating into the bag, and then you've got the moisture and a little bit of air through the holes is going to be the secret ingredient in the magic formula to, in a season, end up with this incredible, basically composted soil.
So there's a lot of different ways you can do it, Lisa. Just the idea is don't toss the stuff away. It's nutrients. It's free. Nature's giving it to you. It's just the best thing for your yard. That's Joe Lample on the phone, also known as Joe Gardner with Growing a Greener World. You can find him on WTTW at 10 a.m. Not today, but some other day. Because I don't stand for competition here, but he's a great guy, and he's also a spokesperson. And by the way, in studio, Lisa Albrecht is here, and Sarah Batka, and of course, Denny Sheeter, spinning the dials over there. You're also a spokesperson for Fiskars tools, and I got to tell you, I don't have. Pretty much that's all I get when it comes to pruning tools and something that's going to cut something. It's I love my Fiskars with especially the power gear. They're just great pruners and loppers.
Totally are. They've got a tool for every cutting job and beyond. But, I mean, on the subject of cutting, those power gear tools are designed to reduce the effort and to minimize the weight. So you can get out there with your loppers or your pruners or your pole pruners. And again, here we are back to fall. This is the perfect time. I am out there. It's funny, when you and I talked earlier this week, I just happened to be out in my garden with all of those tools because I love to do sort of the cleanup in the fall where I'm looking up into the trees, especially in my shrubs, because as the leaves start to drop off those plants, I'm able to tell which are still the healthy, viable branches and which are the ones that are dead. But it's hard to do that in the summer when the whole thing is lush with foliage. You can't really see up into the canopy. But as the leaves start to fall and thin out, you can still see that there are branches with leaves on them, and then you can clearly see which ones are dead. And this is the time of year where I always take out the dead and the crossing branches and anything that I don't want on my trees or shrubs. And there I am with my Power Gear Fiskars tools. It's perfect for that. And they cut so much easier. Is the other thing is that in addition to the lightweight, because if you know, if you got a big property or even a small one, the you know, eventually you get tired. So you've got the lightweight and then you've got the ease of the cutting. It's about three times easier to cut with the Power Gear tools than a comparable tool from another company. So
yeah, and if you're not aware of this, Sarah, do you use the Power Gear tools at all?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that's okay. I was going to try to explain to folks how that works. It's, you know, if you have a normal pruner, it's like a scissors. It just kind of goes back and forth. But Fiskars has engineered it so that there's how would you describe it, Joe? Is a ratchet in there? You know,
it's a patented design. First of all, it's ergonomic. It's got a rotating handle for in some of the products, and it's actually they receive the ease of use accommodation. They're the only cutting tool company or hand cutting tool company to receive the ease of use accommodation by the Arthritis Foundation. So that right there says a lot, because there's a lot of tools out there that would love to have that acclaim, but they don't. So they have engineered this technology, and it's unique to the Fiskars products, that allows for that transfer of the cutting motion throughout the tool so that you don't feel it in your hand. It's dispersed in a way that makes it much easier.
They actually sent me this little kit earlier in the year, and I thought it was pretty ingenious. Mm-hmm. They put one of their Power Gear tools in a box, and then they put Brand X pruner with that also, and then a dowel. A little dowel. And they said, try cutting it with Brand X and then try cutting it with ours. And I just thought, wow, that's pretty cool. That's a good way to show off how well that works.
It's brilliant because, you know, it's one thing to talk about a product and talk about how good it is. But when you actually put a side-by-side comparison into the hands of the person that's using it and just don't say anything and let them judge for themselves, that's where the real power is. And I love doing that because I've done that same thing with my friends here because I've had a few of those kits over time. And I don't say anything. I just say, here, try this. And they have the two tools, the conventional pruner and then the Fiskars one. And then, boom, I don't have to say anything, and they're sold. So
I got to tell you something. You're being busted on Twitter.
For not tweeting enough?
Yep. How did you know it was going to be that?
Because I have a notice. I had a notice just pop up on my phone, and I'm like, really? I haven't tweeted in 30 days?
Mud Baron sent that. All right.
Oh, Mud.
I'll be darned, but you gotta understand. My listeners are out there in the tweetosphere. Just on Sundays, we kind of go nuts for a couple hours. And there was another one, a good tweet. It says, "Reminder that some leaves and then parentheses pin oak last forever."
Yeah,
you know, oak leaves. Yeah, those are ones you really want to chop up. You want to get them as fine as you. They'll break down, but you just have to work a little harder to chop them up.
You know, and I also agree with that 100%, but I also like the different textures of the leaves because it adds some diversity to your soil, and it adds those air pockets and things that you need, the diversity that really helps with the dynamics of the soil. So,
Before I let you go, I wanted to get to one more tool because this is becoming more and more popular, and that's a push mower. You know, folks, you know, in the old days, you got people, you wanted them to use a push mower, but they weren't very effective. And now, however, folks like Fiskars have come out with these real mowers that are powered by you and your arms and your legs and your back, but they're not your dad's and your grandfather's push mowers. They're a lot more effective, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They have perfected the technology on those old push mowers to the point of actually, I enjoy. I've never not liked mowing the grass. I'm one of those guys that kind of likes that. But it's really fun to take that. In this case, you know, again, Fiskars has that mower, and it's so light. And it does such a great job of cutting because, I mean, they are the cutting tool company. They're the ones with the scissors that we all have. And so they just take that technology, put it into the blade of the mower, and there you go. But what they did was they looked at all the existing push mowers out there and why we don't use them more and what we don't like about them. And they basically went through every objection and worked through them and designed an improvement or solution to those objections. And now we've got these mowers that you can get out there, and they're light, but they're strong, and they cut and they stay sharp. And they adjust in the height of the cutting, which is very important, depending on the type of grass that you have. You always want to cut it at the right.
Well, height. And that was one of the complaints with the mowers before, is that they were set for very low, and the organic lawn care folks had been saying, you know, you want to cut it 3 inches, and you couldn't find some of those real mowers that would cut that high.
Right, absolutely.
And so that's a big change.
One of my favorite features of it. And the fact that you can just take it out when you need to and you don't have to gas it up, and you're not going to wake your neighbors if you want to start early. Now, you know, having said that, I love this mower, but it's not perfect for every scenario. I mean, it really is ideally suited for a smaller yard.
Sure.
And one that's more on the level side rather than, you know, going uphill or
yeah,
all that.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But no, you're right. So for a smaller one, that's a great tool to have as well.
And it looks perfect for the city. You know, I mean, I have very little amount of grass in my yard. And we unfortunately have a lawn care service that comes in with a big rider, and it doesn't make any sense to me to have that big, huge.
And they probably blow leaves across the street.
I sneeze for an hour after they leave because they're making such a mess in the neighborhood. Yeah. But this is adorable. It looks really ergonomic, and it looks really small that it would fit nicely in my basement and not require gasoline.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got links to all of this on my website. Go to MikeNovak.net, this week's show, and I've got links to even Joe Gardner and Growing a Greener World and the Fiskars and the Real Mowers and their Power Gear tools as well. Joe, I'm so far behind in spots, I have got to let you go.
Okay.
And we got to do this again.
We will. And just for your record and for the folks that are watching the Twitter feed, I just tweeted.
Oh, my gosh. I can see it. Oh, for the first time in recorded memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it was about you. So there.
Great. Good. I appreciate that. Joe, wonderful talking to you. Like I said, let's do it again. And good luck with the next year and the next season.
All right. Well, we'll talk soon.
You bet.
Loved it.
Take care.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, guys.
Here's a tip from the care of trees. And it's something we were talking about before. I've talked a lot about watering this year, but when Rick DeMaio, who's going to be on next, tells me we're 8 inches short of our normal rainfall, I don't know if it's still the case. We'll find out. I'm going to continue to talk about water. Our trees have been stressed over the past few years by various conditions, including drought and flooding. This year, drought. So pay attention to soil moisture as we head into fall, especially for your evergreens, which can lose water through their needles even in the depths of winter. Don't get fooled by cool weather. Cool doesn't mean wet. Water deeply and infrequently and continue to water until the ground freezes. In addition, mulching and other soil care activities can help create the optimal growing conditions for your trees. Practices that promote root development in the fall, when roots are still growing, they are, as long as the ground doesn't freeze. That will go a long way to protecting the long-term health of your trees. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
How is it? No, wait, that's not. How is it that I can look at the wrong copy? Instead, a news bulletin from the D. Landreth Seed Company. They have received more heirloom garlic. Woohoo! What's the big deal, you say? Well, many of you have now received the Landreth Fall Bulb Catalog, and when you tried to order garlic, you found out that they were out of many varieties. That's because so many customers placed pre-orders in July and August. Well, fear not, gentle gardener. Landreth has restocked many of the heirloom garlic varieties, and they're available right now. Check the website again, landrethseeds.com. And don't forget, Landreth's fifth annual heirloom bulb sale next Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'm wondering if that's Eastern time or Central time. And I don't know for sure because they're an online thing. So let's assume somewhere around there, maybe Eastern, maybe Central. Just order in the middle of the day. That'll help. At their heirloom bulb sale, they will answer all your questions and help you make some great selections. For more information, go to their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407, or go to LandrethSeeds.com and tell them Mike sent you. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. Rick DeMaio weather in exactly 60 seconds.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I see on Twitter, Sarah Batka, that somebody beat you to it about the Project Orange Thumb grant is now open from Fisker's. And I wonder if we can put that on my Facebook page, too. I should have that posted. So I'm going to try to do that. I see that Mud Baron has posted that. And basically the idea of Fisker's gives away grants to deserving communities and organizations that are doing gardening work.
Yeah, it looks like 501c3 community and school gardens are eligible for up to $5,000 grants. They're going to award 10 grants for 2013. Applications are open now with a closing date of December 15th.
And I'm pretty sure if you just go to the Fisker's website, it's there as well. And that's just www2, that's what pops up, www.fiskars.com, FISKARS.com. So we'll have to find another website to get you straight over there. Let's go to Rick DeMaio. And Mr. DeMaio, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike. A beautiful day in Halifax where it's mostly sunny and 15 degrees.
Oh, sunny and 15 in Halifax.
That's centigrade, remember. That's
yeah, no, I know that. Yeah. I know.
That's actually warmer than us, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're surrounded by the ocean out there.
They're surrounded by the ocean. And, you know, last year they actually had two different hits of hurricanes. We're here in the United States. We only had one, and that's kind of frequent for that eastern section of Nova Scotia to be, you know, anywhere between 60 and 70 mile per hour winds. generally as these storms kind of weaken, but usually they're moving really fast. And I don't know if you've ever been to that island. I haven't been either, but it's breathtakingly beautiful, particularly along the southeast and the southeast shore there, where the land just kind of drops right down into the ocean, and it's absolutely beautiful. And because they get so much wind down there, they don't really have a lot of tall trees right along the coast there. So it's a very, very rough, very rough climate, and I'm eager to hear your simulcast coming up here in a little bit.
Well, I'm trying to parlay that into a trip out to Nova Scotia. It just sounds like someplace I'd like to visit, because if you look at it on a map, and you kind of shoot straight out from Maine, and it's really not that far away.
What do they call that in radio land? Payola?
Oh no, it's called patting each other on the back, like good for, I'm not asking her to pay my way out there.
I think the acronym for payola is patting each other on the back.
Yeah, that's the right. Oh no, I am not into payola. I'm into earning it,
I think I took it once when I was a freshman in college, but I don't really remember it, so we'll figure that out later.
Well, listen, you came up with some good weather for the marathon, didn't you?
You know what? It's good from a standpoint of the runners like it cool, and I'm making a prediction now that American will not win the marathon in the men's division, okay? I know I'm going out on a limb there.
Yeah, really.
But compared to what we've had in recent years, if you remember, last year during this time, we were in a stretch of very, very warm weather. From the 5th all the way through the 9th, we had 5 consecutive days of 80 degrees, and then if you recall, last March, we had that string of 4 degrees of 80-degree weather, and it was interesting because we broke the record of the latest 80 at the end of the summer and the earliest 80 at the beginning of the following spring. We broke the record, I think it was almost like by 20 days or something like that. I have to go back and think about that, but and basically what that means is we had a really short winter season, which was pretty nice for a lot of people. This is obviously much better weather for the marathoners to run, and obviously for the people participating, sitting underneath those big white tents in Grand Park, if anybody's kind of traversed that area of the city over the last couple of days. It's kind of chilly for them. But you know what? We actually made it through this morning without as much of a freeze compared to what we had yesterday, where we had temperatures widespread in the mid to upper 20s in some areas. So in some areas of the Chicagoland region, from Rockford to DeKalb, down about Pontiac, just to the west of Joliet, yesterday actually went down in the books as a hard freeze, whereas this morning with the cloud cover, temperatures were a couple of ticks higher, generally right around 30, 31 degrees. And still, I think the thing that everybody is now beginning to think about is like, holy smoke, the ground's pretty dry. And you've noticed that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm going to keep hammering this, because it gets cool and folks forget to water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of the I heard the gentleman talking earlier about how this is the most important time of the year to be pruning your trees and your bushes, because now you can see the leaves that are stressed. And Mike, I know we talked about this last week. I have never seen a fall foliage season come as quickly as it did this year. I'm sure you can agree on that.
Yeah, and it's in full flight, I guess. In the city, I mean, I'm looking in the city, and everything's changing all at once. It's just bam.
Well, it was interesting when I was teaching my climate change class the other day at the Art Institute. We're on the 7th floor of the building, looking out over the trees, and I said to the student, I brought him up to the windows, and I go, look outside, and look at the trees. What do you notice? And some of the students go, they've changed color. I'm like, no. Come on, let's talk about this. Where have they changed color? And literally, if you go up to about the 20th floor of a building downtown and you look out over the trees in Grand Park, almost all of the tops of the trees have completely turned. And then you get to the middle of the tree, and they're about maybe midway turn. You get to the bottom of the tree, and they're almost still green. And I asked them, why do you think it's doing that? And then someone actually started to say, well, didn't we have a dry summer? I'm like, yeah, in addition to that, we had a hot summer. Most of the rain came kind of too late. And as well, we also had a very, very, warm March, which meant these leaves have been on the trees for pretty much what they normally should be, and they're ready to go. And speaking of climate change and climate variability, you can really see it locally here. What happens is when you get this early bloom of leaves and you get very, very low rainfall, we're only about 8 inches below average. So we're, as far as the percentages go, I'd have to talk to Pat Sketch about that. But we've had 22 inches of rain less this year compared to last year, and you can see that how the trees have actually soaked up the water and then stopped. So that bottom part is green, and the top part is basically said, you know what, you haven't watered me in a while, so I'm done. And it's interesting, what I'm thinking about is how these trees are going to look next year when we get into the growing beginning. And obviously, we'd have to wait and see how the winter turns out, but
I had a lot of that,
you know, right there in full bloom.
Yeah, I had a woman write to me about her tree, and she was afraid that she had maybe applied an herbicide and because it was dropping the leaves and it didn't look good. And I said, you know, it might just be the drought. I mean, because I don't. You know, she probably did not poison her tree. I said, let's see what happens in the spring. But, you know, that's the other thing. We get to next year. Folks need to remember this was a drought year.
Yeah, this is a very, very important time between now and probably the next 2-3 weeks to really get in and do some deep watering.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting before we get into the forecast here, but tomorrow we're going to really begin to warm things up with a very, very strong southwest wind, about 30 to 35 miles per hour. So I'm looking forward to seeing all these leaves kind of blow horizontally, you know, off the, you know, the leaves rather blow horizontally off the trees tomorrow, and you'll really begin to see the full effect of a dry summer, which is, you know, a lot of these leaves are like, you know what, I just can't hold on any longer. So if you get a chance to do any leaf peeping today, today's the day to do it. This is the end of the weekend to do it, obviously. We will probably still have some decent fall foliage next weekend, but we're almost near peak here, Mike, which is about 3 weeks ahead of schedule.
And just amazing. I'm going to talk to an arborist friend of mine because it kind of makes sense to me that they leafed out early. Well, they're going to drop leaves early. So
But
you know, you only have so much time on the tree.
Well, yeah, so forecast basically says a lot of clouds today, off and on sunshine mixed in, but temperatures pretty much about 10 to 15 degrees below average. Yesterday we managed to get to 50. That was the coldest day in about 6 months. But with the cloud cover tonight and winds out of the southwest, no threat of a refreeze that we had last night. And mid-60s tomorrow, a little bit of a cool front comes back through the area on Tuesday, so generally right in the upper 50s, low 60s. And then another cool shot for Wednesday, back into the upper 40s, low 50s. So this weekend, or at least to say the next 5 to 6 days, very similar, very roller coaster type weather. Next best chance of any significant rain, probably not until Friday or Saturday. Mm. And we've only had 3/10 or 3/4 of an inch of rain, Mike, in the last 3.5 weeks. So we definitely need the moisture.
You know, I always, and even I forget, and then I talk to you every Sunday and say, we're down. We'd have enough rain.
But the bottom line is that 8 inches, that whatever rain we get right now is evaporating very quickly. So we need a good soaker, and I think we can get that probably by this time next week. We'll be smiling a little bit better.
All right. That sounds great. Rick DeMaio, always a pleasure to have you on board. And we're going to go to Nova Scotia in the next hour when it's where it's sunny and 15. And I appreciate the weather report for Nova Scotia.
15C.
15C. Okay, yeah. I'll talk to you next week, Rick.
See you, Mike.
As he said, 15C in Nova Scotia. I know Mike Sanders is setting it up right now. I hope you stick around for our simulcast with Nikki Jabbar.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
That's what we do on this show. We go all the way.
You know it.
It's from my youth here. So every now and then you got to. You know when I was in college on the radio. Can you play Please Go All the Way and Dedicate It to Sue? Sure. Okay. Right. And then it was always the other one was Let's Spend the Night Together. Can you dedicate that to? And whatever.
Sue.
That song made me want to go to a sock hop. That was good.
All right. We should check and see what we're getting from Nova Scotia here.
At Halifax Stanfield International Airport, it is mainly sunny and 14 degrees.
Forecast.
Oh, it's gotten colder.
I'm Jonathan Muma. It's 12:04. Now back to the Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour.
Oh, that's what I call timing. Let's hear her
Everything
intro.
You need to know from the ground up. The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour. Heard Sundays from 11 to 1 on News 95.7.
By the way, this is a simulcast, everybody. It's still Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Yes, AM and FM.
But... And FM.
Again, happy Thanksgiving to all my Canadian listeners out there. Thanksgiving weekend, and what a spectacular weekend it is. Loving this beautiful weather. Just gorgeous. Get out there and play in your garden later today. But we're trying something a little unique right now. And I'm hoping this is working. We are trying to simulcast with the wonderful Mike Novak, who is also broadcasting live right now. Can I not say wonderful? Woo, this is working.
It is working. This is crazy.
Live in Chicago. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a little echo here. We're going to try to fix that.
Oh, wow.
I get that in my head all the time.
I might just take off the headset. But our engineer, Mike Sanders, is out there trying to fix it. Are we still getting an echo here?
No echo.
Nope, gone.
Gone. Yay.
Excellent.
There we go. Mike, I knew he'd push a button somewhere and we would be just fine.
Modern technology.
Nikki, how are you?
I'm great. It's gorgeous here. It's a beautiful weekend. It's Thanksgiving. I couldn't ask for more. What can I say?
Oh, that's right. Canadian Thanksgiving.
It is. Yeah, it's
always October.
You crazy people, you guys just throw Thanksgiving wherever you feel like it. Let's do it at the beginning of October.
Well, you guys like to cram your holidays together, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I know, we do.
We need more to look forward to.
You know what, Nikki, we lurch from Halloween into Thanksgiving into Christmas. And then we collapse in a heap on January. Oh, and then New Year.
Nothing until April.
Nothing to Easter.
Yeah, and because I don't count.
Chicagoans, we do have, you know, good old St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, of course, St. Patty's Day. We celebrate that here too.
And some people celebrate Valentine's Day, but it's
whatever.
It's you know, but Valentine's Day is good for florists. It keeps them occupied during the winter months.
That's true, and it certainly increases our carbon footprint in importing all those lovely flowers.
Okay, here we go.
Sorry.
You're absolutely right, though.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's always on my mind. I know you guys specialize in, green thinking. You know, you're very environmental, a lot of recycling. I've listened to your show many times on the, thank goodness it's on the website. And let's throw it out there for my listeners, mikenovak.net, and you can check out his, you can listen live, of course, on your show every Sunday, because you don't go dormant for the winter like I do you?
No. And I find that kind of interesting that here we are in the first week of October, and you're going away.
I know. You know, we run from April to October every year.
What do they put in your place, Nikki?
You know what? There's a morning show here, a weekend morning show with Erin Trafford, and it's fabulous. So it doesn't go quite as long, but then they play sports after my show.
Well, and I have and thank you for the plug. And by the way, for those people, let's see if we can get me some Facebook likes on out of this, okay?
From Canada.
Yeah, let's get all our Canadian friends in. Excuse
everybody,
me.
Head to Facebook. Mike Novak is on Facebook. Do you have a Facebook page for your show specifically, too?
Yes. The Mike Novak Show, and it's spelled Nowak. So if you go to the Mike Novak Show, you know, you can go either one. You can just go to Mike Novak or the Mike Novak Show. And conversely, I want my listeners here in Chicago and people listening on the stream. And I got the Twitter sphere is going crazy, of course, here because they're always out there. Making comments.
And I love the Twitter.
You can go to, I think for radio, you know, if you got a radio show, Twitter's great. If you don't have a radio show, I don't know. But I want folks to know that they can connect with you. I've got the links to your blog. And I have the link to News 9, 95.7, but it's actually news957.com if they want to go there. And my meteorologist just before the top of the hour gave the weather forecast, said it's beautiful in Halifax today. It was 15 when he gave it to me. Now it's 14. We heard the end of your newscast there. And, of course, that's Celsius.
It is. So what's that, 65 or so? 70? 65-70 Fahrenheit?
Like I know.
Times 5 divided by 9.
I know. That's a problem here. Nobody knows how to calculate. Okay, can
you you go to Google, you type in temperature conversion. I live for this. And you just convert it.
I've got 60.8 Fahrenheit.
60.8. Well, you know, that's pretty nice. Thanksgiving weekend.
That's a good temperature. I kind of like the idea of having the Thanksgiving weekend earlier and not later.
It makes sense with the harvest season.
Yeah.
It does. You know, yeah. And I mean, right now the farmers markets are going crazy up here. There's so much incredible produce being produced, obviously. And I mean, I imagine it's the same there in Chicago as well. You guys are zone 5, 5B6?
We are 5B. Some people would argue that right along the lake here, Lake Michigan, because they're right on the southern southwest tip of Lake Michigan. Some people would argue that we're zone 6 now. There's controversy about how you want to treat it. But, you know, when you get down to 25 below, and that's Fahrenheit, all right,
you don't worry
about those numbers. Now, how cold does it get in Halifax?
You know, in Halifax, in Celsius, it'll get to probably about, you know, minus 20, you know, as one of the colder temperatures. We're zone 5B.
Okay. And as we're doing this, Sarah, and I should let you know, Nikki, I have my friends Lisa Albrecht here in the studio with me and Sarah Batka. Now, Sarah is a master gardener coordinator for Cook County, where we're located. And Lisa is my green energy person. She is a solar expert and with the Illinois Solar Energy Association.
Wow, that's very cool. How are you doing?
Good. Great to hear you.
Yeah, you too. We hear a lot more about solar energy nowadays up in this way, too. Although I think you're slightly lower in terms of latitude, so you might get more sun than we do year-round.
All right, now let's do...
Here we go, you're better than Germany. That's always my go-to.
Oh, well, but the point is, Lisa will go off on a rant if you say...
don't open the door.
We don't have... No. Go ahead. Tell Nikki. Give her just 30 seconds of your rant.
Well, you know, actually, Canada's doing a great job. Canada's been putting a lot of programs together, and I think up in Toronto area, they're going to start doing some feed-in tariffs. So there's some great things happening in Canada, and people have a big misnomer thinking that if you have a higher latitude that you can't do solar, because Germany's leading the world, and they're about as high up as Alaska. So,
well, I did hear about Germany, which is amazing. And, of course, I grow vegetables year-round in my garden, and we have over 10 hours of sunlight well into November. So, you know, I think we can do a lot here with the sun.
As a matter of fact, I'll give you a plug for your book. Which is an award-winning book, the 2012 Woo-hoo! American Horticultural Society. Why don't you get a Canadian award, okay?
Sorry, I'm taking all your American awards.
I know. Yeah, save some for us. the Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, and I've got a link to it on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and it's there. Tell me the germination, so to speak, of that book and how you came to put that together.
Well, you know, it all kind of came. I've always been a veggie grower, and it came together for me years ago. I had gone up to the garden to plant the garlic in October, which is when we plant our garlic up here, and the arugula still looked great. I still had some greens that looked fantastic. Harvested. We had an inch of snow that night, and so I kind of, you know, forgot about it, but it was still great. It was so cold tolerant. So I just started extending my season, and years later, like a decade more later, here we are, and we grow over 30 things winter harvest all year round, and the winter time is my favorite time because it's the only time I don't fight those darn deer or slugs or things like that. And it's just so easy. You know, it takes very little work. I have no heat. I just use cold frames and mini hoop tunnels, and we harvest lots and lots of yummy things all winter long.
You know, you might as well make that pitch for the folks. You know, if you can do it in Canada, you can do it anywhere.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that this year. Well, did the cold frames beside your igloo? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I put them exactly beside the igloo so the polar bears don't get them. Yeah, no, you know, we get a lot of light here. We're very, you know, in the east coast of Canada, we're pretty mild, and we've got some beautiful profits and stuff this way. And, you know, we also get a lot of Americans coming this way in the summertime to investigate all the fun stuff we have over here.
Yeah, I mentioned that before the top of the hour to my meteorologist, and he said, oh, Paola, you're going to get her to fly you out to Nova Scotia? I said, no, I just want her to greet me at the airport when I go there.
So I'm totally in. I'll totally be there at the airport, waving hello, big sign. Mike Novak, woo!
I would love to go to Nova Scotia. That just sounds like so much fun. Do you ever get to Chicago?
I've been to Chicago once a long time ago, unfortunately. So I'm hoping to get there again soon. I mean, it is a kind of almost an American center, too, for horticulture and gardeners. And in fact, in my next half an hour, I'm having on Amanda Thompson, Kiss My Aster,
mm-hmm.
who's a Chicago native as well, is going to join me. So, I mean, there's so much that goes on there. You had the big, I think, the garden show, the independent garden show this year there?
The Independent Garden Center show is in August. I was on the floor of that, working it for a couple of days. Well, you know, that's what you do when everybody comes to town. And you,
darn right.
If you're a broadcaster and or you've got products or something, you go to the Independent Garden Show. And then in January, we have something called Mid-Am. The Mid-America Horticultural Show. And so there's some really good garden shows here. But as you said, the city itself is a hotbed right now of community gardens and, you know, whether they're vegetable or ornamental. We have some wonderful institutions here, the Morton Arboretum and the Chicago Botanic Garden. And there are botanic gardens out in Rockford, and there are botanic gardens, you know, within a couple of hours all around the city of Chicago.
Yeah, and I've been reading a lot about some of the, you know, businesses too in your area that do a lot of these community gardens that grow a lot of things even on rooftops. You guys are being very innovative in that sort of way.
Apparently we are the rooftop capital. now you can't, and most, a lot of that is your standard fare, sedum and that sort of thing, but more and more folks are putting vegetables and making those rooftops more productive. And as you pointed out, Nikki, you can do it year round with if you have hoops and if you have cold frames. People are getting more and more creative about how they grow and where they grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of trends lately, too. People just growing in the most interesting ways. A lot of wall gardens, you know, using the spaces that are unusable, you know, taking up some of that air space that's, where nothing is growing. A lot of vertical crops lately I hear about. And mm-hmm. And people are also growing a lot of things, like things that are beautiful, like kales and tomatoes and asparagus with their perennials, which, of course, you know, pioneered, you know, in the U.S., the edible landscaping movement, really.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because that's a little bit controversial every now and then. It seems like every several months you see a story about somebody who planted a vegetable garden in their front yard. Oh, my God, what are you doing? It's in your front yard. And then the neighbors complain because it's not lawn.
Yeah.
And, which gets us to the topic of lawns. Now, I know you have to break for some business, right, at some point here. How do you want to handle
well,
that?
Why don't we take a break right now? We'll take our two-minute commercial break. Then we'll come back, and let's talk about lawns because, of course, I know you also you know, work with SafeLawns.org, which is that nonprofit organization that promotes natural lawn care. So we'll talk all about that. Let's take a quick 2 minutes and come back again.
We will do that. I will talk to you in 2 minutes.
Awesome. More with Mike Novak, The Mike Novak Show. Check him out online, MikeNovak.net.
And we're with Nikki Jabor, and she's taking a break there, and I'm bringing it down. And she's the Weekend Gardener on News957.com, www.News957.com. Lisa and Sarah and Denny, is this fun or what?
This is so cool.
How cool.
And to all our friends on Twitter who are following this
and
on Facebook, it's cool.
I think we need to take a field trip.
Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Here we come.
Yes.
You're ready for a field trip. I want to run home and start planting a vertical garden.
Okay. We can do that, too.
I got the hear in a boot in there. That was good. That's what I was waiting for, the aboot.
The aboot.
I heard it.
All right. How is it we go from heat and drought to jacket weather and drizzle? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it has something to do with the seasons. And if you don't quite understand how the seasons work, well, you might want to consider getting some help from Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. For instance, the My Favorite Plant article in the September-October issue is about tulips. Who doesn't like tulips? Especially deer. And Suzanne Ray, who does graphic design for the magazine and is always very kind to me in putting my column together, lets you know what some of her favorites are. There's an article about native vines and why you should consider them in your yard. Hint: think about stunning butterflies like the pipe vine swallowtail. Another story is about espalier and why the French wanted to wire their apple trees to fences. Hint: the French don't do anything easy. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Some people want to know why I inflict that on unsuspecting readers. Hint:
nobody knows. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. Or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. Well, Sarah and Lisa, I'm going to just see what she's doing over there on the other.
See Nathan McKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, and all your favorite.
Still a commercial.
She's still in the 2 minute break there. I suppose I should line up some music so that we can go back into our segment. And by the way, for those of you who just tuned in, it's kind of cool. We are simulcasting with the Weekend Gardener show. Nikki Jabour is in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and we are just until the bottom of the hour. This is her last show of the season, and we just thought, gosh, it would be really fun to do something like that. And, you know, I got to do it more often. I got to find more radio shows, but they're not always on at the same time. That's the other thing. You know, she's on at noon Atlantic time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can we just hear what's going on there?
Everything you need to know from the ground up.
Here we go.
The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour. Heard Sundays from 11 to 1 on News 95.7.
And we are back in a very special broadcast of The Weekend Gardener and our last of season 6. So we'll be going dormant until April, but you can stay tuned by following me at my website, NikkiJabour.com. And joining me now live from his show in Chicago, simulcasting, which is a hard word to say, actually, is Mike Novak, The Mike Novak Show. Find him online, MikeNovak.net.
If you're worried, all winter. If you're worried about words that are hard to pronounce, you shouldn't be in horticulture, okay?
Tell me about it.
We're listening to a little bit of your commercial and your intro. I'm going to let you just handle the show. I'm going to turn off my mic and you can just do whatever you want, I guess.
All right, I can do it.
No, I did want to get back to, and for those of you listening here in Chicago and on the stream, and it's interesting, Nikki, we have a friend, a mutual friend, Annie Haven, out in California.
I was just looking at her tweets.
Is she tweeting about this?
She is.
And she listens to both shows, even though we're on at the same time.
That tells me she's smarter than either one of us, you know, that she can do more than one thing.
I don't
at
know
once.
How she multitasks like that.
I don't know. And we also have Brenda, you know, Garden Chat, for goodness sakes, on Twitter. She's also listening right now, and she does the same thing. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I didn't even know we were competing, Nikki.
Neither did I until I talked to you a couple weeks ago about this, actually.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, and I know, you know, we're going to have to get out of here way too soon because this is really fun.
This is really fun.
One of the things that's really important about what you guys are doing north of the border is with lawn care. And folks who listen to my show know my motto for lawns is, when in doubt, rip it out. All right, that's the way I feel. However, if you want to have a lawn, I say do it organically, okay? Let's go cold turkey and get rid of the chemicals, get rid of the weed and feed, which is just a pretty name for poison and fertilizer. That's what I always say. You know, I do garden talks. I say, why do they call it weed and feed? Well, nobody would buy it if they called it poison and fertilizer.
That's true.
And actually, I did one of these talks, and a guy in the front row raised his hand. I said, because I was asking, why do they call it weed and feed? And he said, because it rhymes. And I said, yes, yes.
It's catchy.
You know, it's what it is. It's marketing.
I can't buy it. I can't buy it anymore.
Right. You can't buy it in Canada, and that's such a good thing. Explain to my American listeners what's happening in Canada.
I know, you know, the thought of not being able to get weed and feed, I know, just starts panic in many people. But in my province, Nova Scotia, we passed a bylaw in 2000, and in 2003 it kicked off in that we have a pesticide regulation. We can't put chemicals on our lawn. We can't put, you can't put herbicides to kill the weeds or things like that, or to kill whatever bugs, chinch bugs, things like that. You got to find a different way to deal with it. And at first, you know, there was a little resistance. People were like, but I want a perfect lawn. And I mean, we all get that, right? But, you know, it's been almost 10 years and I don't hear any resistance anymore. People think it's ridiculous that people would put weed and feed on their lawn and then send their children or their dogs or their cats outside to walk on the lawn. It's not even in my vocabulary. I've always been an organic gardener, of course, but the fact that everybody else has embraced this pesticide bylaw just makes me so happy. So you can't go out and spray, you know, different things. Even your roses, that falls under the category of in the pesticide bylaw. You can't spray just whatever you want in your roses to keep them pretty.
Now, Do you have a list of forbidden chemicals?
Well, no, we have a list of permitted pesticides.
Oh, okay.
And the list includes natural items or organic items, diatomaceous earth, insecticidal soap, you know, things like that. Those are permitted.
So things like 2,4-D and dicamba.
Gone.
Oh, that's just so gone. Good.
Yeah,
now,
what
about Roundup?
No, Roundup's forbidden.
Wow.
I mean, if you have a special circumstance, such as an invasive weed, like Japanese knotweed, like something taking over, threatening your lawn or threatening your property or a nearby area, you can get a special license and you know, somebody can, a licensed landscaper, somebody can come and take care of that in that manner. But generally speaking, we rely on smothering for most weeds like that, like invasive weeds. And you know, there's horticultural vinegars and there's
sure.
digging them out.
There's
you know?
All kinds of different ways to do it. And the best part of this, and what I want listeners to take away from this conversation is that 10 years later, it's the norm. Nobody cares. You know,
nobody cares.
They know that they've adapted. They probably allow a few weeds in their lawns, and nobody freaks out. And the only people that are freaking out right now, and I can hear it right now in my head, is the chemical companies in America. Anybody who works for one of them listening to this conversation and thinking, oh my God, we can't let this happen in the United States. Mm. Well, and it's really hard here because we can't even get laws passed. It's really hard to pass a law that even prohibits chemicals from being used on schoolyards.
Yeah, you know, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and
you know.
I think the really exciting part is the education piece that both of you are doing on the air, you know, and teaching folks, because, you know, like the gentleman in the audience, it rhymes. We're so caught up in the marketing that comes with it. You know, the beautiful lawn when Scotts has their commercials in the spring and, you know, yes, oh, I want that. And I think by showing folks that we don't have to put up with that, and let's use the words, it's poison. Call it a poison and tell people that's what you're putting in your yard and give them a choice to say, I could do this. I have an alternate way of doing it.
And
plus the pollinators, the beneficial insects, the bees, they don't benefit from that spray and that stuff being put in your lawn. The earthworms, the fungi in the soil, it's a natural web and we have to support it.
And it's interesting, the whole idea of what's a weed, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As we know, every single part of the dandelion plant is edible. All right.
True.
Clover. What's clover? It's a nitrogen fixer. Here,
it's in my back lawn. It's
right.
Beautiful.
And it takes nitrogen out of the air and it puts it in the ground for free. and 60 years ago, we were putting a clover seed into our grass seed mixes. And, you know, somewhere along the way, somebody said, oh, I know how we can make people crazy. Let them think it's a weed. And then we'll, they'll have to put all these chemicals down. So I applaud you. Canada.
Well, thank you so much.
Canada.
Look at you. That's impressive.
It's also a great national anthem,
by the way. He has great vibes.
Well, you know, it's I can't believe this is winding down already. We have to do this again next spring when my show kicks off again because this is really fun.
When do you kick off?
I don't know at this point. April? Early April will kick off?
Sometime around there.
Yeah. I'm going to Fiji for the winter. That's all I know. I'm just kidding. I'll retreat in my igloo and we'll stay there until the snow melts.
I was about to cut off your mic when you said that about Fiji. But
I wish.
I want people to know that they can get Nikki Jabor's book. The year-round vegetable gardener. I want you to go to my website and link to it, and I have a link to straight to where you can purchase the book. And I want you to sell a gazillion copies.
Thank you. That's so sweet. And I know your book is coming out soon, so hopefully by spring it'll be out, and I'll get to talk about it, and we'll give some away too.
That sounds great.
That'd be great.
Well,
awesome.
I know you got a break. You got to get out of here. You've got more show to do. I've got more show to do. This is great. We'll do it again next spring.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you. Thank you so much to all of you guys. This has been so much fun, and happy Canadian Thanksgiving.
Hey.
Thanks, Nikki.
Happy
right.
Thanksgiving,
Nikki.
Guys. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye bye now.
Bye. And there she goes. Wow.
Lovely.
That was
super cool.
Success.
Yeah.
Yeah, hats off to the tech guys.
Hey.
Well done.
Without a hitch.
Amazing.
Love it.
Little tidy echo at the beginning, but really nothing.
Echo yeah, schmecko.
Mr. Sanders, Mike Sanders, always behind the scenes.
Gotta love
getting
him.
It done. And you too, Denny. I don't know. I know you were running around back there too.
I'm going crazy over here.
They're both moving quickly.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah. Well, now I got to find more gardening shows that are on at the same time.
Yeah.
So I can co-opt those as well.
Oh, there you go. Infiltration.
It's what it is.
So we got to start looking for Canadian tweets and likes. We got to keep track of this and see if you
you can't tell if they're Canadian. It's just Facebook is all over.
Well, they'll be like, "I like you, eh?" or something like that.
Right, all their tweets are going to be like, and an eh. Just practice that about.
Oh dear.
What's it all about?
We're going to get in trouble for that, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
Not getting in trouble. And it's cool. I love the fact that she does the gardening year round. You know, and that's where we're headed with gardening. That, you know, just have the right equipment and cold frames and hoop tents. You can do microgreens. You can do all kinds of stuff.
You're going to come
all winter long.
You're going to come in the studio one day and say, "Hey, boy, I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm going to Canada. Canadian radio needs me." You're out. You're going to be gone.
Well, they're doing a lot of stuff right up there. And this whole chemical ban is it's just so amazing. And again, I want to make the point that 10 years later, have we got somebody calling us there, Denny?
Oh, we sure do. Let me answer that.
Okay. Why don't you do that? All right. 10 years after they ban these chemicals, nobody says boo. It's like it's accepted, and then everybody's moved on.
Did I hear correctly that Milwaukee has banned some of these chemicals?
I don't think so.
Okay. I thought I heard that on maybe your show last day or so. I'm misinformed.
No. No. I don't know what that would have been. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you can't get that done here. Not yet. No. It would, you know, for instance, you know, Nikki was talking about those chemicals not being able to get. So you go into a Home Depot, any box store where you can get those things here, can't get them there. You know, they're not on the shelves. And as last I checked, Canadian Home Depots haven't gone out of business because of that. And people are a lot healthier and a lot safer.
I'm sure there's plenty of products that can replace that spot on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
So let's learn about those.
I think that's a great idea. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Have we got a question here, Denny?
Dan wants to talk about an open house, I believe, going on. Dan in Chicago.
Is it related to horticulture?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Dan, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Of course it is.
or the environment, that would work too. What's going on?
Both. Actually, all the above. So, as you remember, the Open Lands created a series, commissioned Sharon Bladholm. You may not know the name, but she's the one who did the cast bronze release for the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, formerly Fort Sheridan.
Right, right.
Well, she's having an open house, as are 100 other great artists in this building. It's called the Albany Carroll Arts Building, and it's the 13th annual one, and it's at 319 North Albany next Friday and Saturday. It might be Sunday, too. And I sent you an email all about it with some information.
Did you just send that off to me?
Yeah, I just sent it off a couple minutes ago.
Oh.
But anyway, it's just an incredible. There's a huge garden there. Great artist, and she actually, it's so incredible to see the sculptures of algae and protozoa and all the things in the, you know, you can actually see the mycorrhizas, and for people who don't know, I don't know if you covered it just now with your last call, your last segment, but, you know, they cover the entire earth and deliver all the nutrients, the real nutrients, to the soil.
Oh, and I've seen those bronze reliefs. They're along the walkway when you go to. The open lands.
She also has freestanding sculptures of the darn things, and one of them is actually cute. He looks like a bear cub looking up at you with big claws, of a weird bear club, but cute. And she's, you know, she was one of the premier first stained glass artists, first very fine female in a long, probably since the, I don't want to go butcher the history of it, but she's been doing it for years, and she's real fun to talk to, and a lot of great artists in that Albany Carroll Arts Building. There's a I sent you, there's a link to the map and everything on the website that you might want to post it.
But on which website?
On Sharon Bladholm's website.
Oh, no, you didn't send me that link.
It's in there. It's SharonBladholm.com.
Oh, okay. All right, because I'm looking at it right now, and as you said, it's at the Albany Carroll Arts Building, the 13th Annual Open Studios event, October 13th and 14th. That's next week, Saturday and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m., 319 North Albany Avenue.
Right.
And, yeah, the Sharon Bladholm, the series she put together is called The Soil is Alive, depicts microscopic creatures that live in healthy soil and create soil by breaking down organic material. And as you mentioned, bacteria, algae, or AG, is it algae?
Algae, yeah, I didn't want to try to pronounce them on air. So I advise against it.
Actinomycetes, all right? Protozoa, mites, springtails, fungi, rotifers, all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff. And, yeah.
All right.
That's it. There may even be some stained glass pieces of them. Who knows? I haven't been there for a while. But they're fun people.
Great. Well, thank you for the plug.
You are
doing
welcome.
That, Daniel. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. I called in last week and told you after all the years of being an environmentalist and active, I finally, well, actually my wife sprung and put some seeds in the ground and we got this mountain of squash, which squashed almost everything else. But
the mountain of squash.
Yes, it covers.
So it was a good year for squash, huh?
It was a great year for squash. We had some. What was the name of the place, Kath, where we got the seeds from?
Renee's Garden.
Yes, Renee's. It's a great outfit, Renee's Garden. How are your tomatoes?
Well, we planted the tomatoes quite late, very late July and early August. So the cherries are coming up. I think I can kiss the beefsteaks goodbye, but we're still watering them and tending them, so they may just be fine.
And you're in the city, so
yeah,
you get a little extra time because some of the, as you may have heard Rick DeMaio talk about, you know, frost is hitting some of the outlying areas. And, you know, I've got to get my my tropicals indoors because they're all in the backyard, too. But our growing season is extended just a little bit because we haven't had that hard frost.
Yeah, I've always noticed we drive up to Highland Park to the mother-in-law every week or so. So we see the season change in full regalet going up Sheridan Road. And it does change later here. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for that. I'll see if I can get that posted so folks know about it.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot.
Have a great Sunday.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio with me are Lisa Albrecht and Sarah Batka, who they're doing stuff over there. I hear click, 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 click. You guys are all...
I keep turning my mic off so that you can't hear me click, click, click. But I was just checking out Sharon Bladholm's website.
And
the pretty beautiful stuff.
And the website is?
SharonBladholm.com. And that's B-L-A-D-H-O-L-M. Yeah, I said that wrong.
Okay. Spell that again. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, Blad, BLADHOLM.com. I'll put it on your Facebook page.
That sounds great. All right. Well, we've got I see we got another call. Let's go. We're going to make this quick. Dave in San Francisco, we're going to make this quick, Dave.
Yeah, no trouble. I can already do that. You know, this was a pretty bad drought year, and a lot of people were trying to put in little gardens, but, you know, it got kind of beat out by the heat. But if they make a point to gather the few remaining fruit and whatnot, keep those seeds, because those seeds are actually extra strong. The very resistant seeds that make it through a drought year are going to be stronger DNA, so to speak. So don't throw away your old dried-up tomatoes sitting on the husk. Keep those seeds for next year.
That hadn't occurred to me, Dave.
Well, you know what's unique about this, in terms of genetically modified, you know, trying to beat out those Monsanto GE foods, if people were to look at doing this, every time there's going to be a drought year, people can beat out those seeds by producing more of, you know, the home gardens can create, basically look at your home garden as being a seed repository rather than eating the fruit. Go for the seeds, because we're going to need those heritage plants and the stronger varieties to beat out the GE foods.
Wise words from Dave. I appreciate you calling.
Hey, no sweat.
All right. You have a good Sunday. Coming up next, we're going to Greentown in Highland Park. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. I know you don't want to think about this right now, but winter is a great time to prune your trees. One of the reasons is that winter pruning can slow the spread of diseases such as Dutch elm disease and oak wilt, and even an infestation of emerald ash borer. Why? Well, the tree is dormant and less likely to produce running sap that attracts, I've been called that myself, by the way, running sap, that attracts disease-carrying insects. In addition, pruning can also help reduce snow and ice damage to trees that are prone to this kind of damage. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
I got quoted here. And some folks are retweeting it. Why do they call it weed feed? Because no one would buy it if they called it poison and fertilizer.
That one was a hot one. It got a lot of favorites and retweets.
Good. I hope it gets out there. Let's make it go viral. Here are a couple of announcements from the D. Landreth Seed Company. First, it is getting to be the time to plant onion sets, shallot sets, elephant garlic sets, and flower bulbs. So this would be a great weekend to peruse Landreth's fall bulb catalog. Or go to the website in roots and sets or bulbs and tubers and order your selections at LandrethSeeds.com. Here in Chicagoland, the time to plant these bulbs and sets is mid to late October through early December. To have a flower-filled spring and an early harvest of onions, garlic, and shallots, you need to start now. Next, Landreth's fifth annual heirloom bulb sale is next Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Lisa, did you find out whether that was...
I couldn't find any times on their site. Mm-mm. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I found that on their Facebook page, so that's what I used. You want to force bulbs this winter? Are you looking for deer and critter-resistant bulbs? At the Heirloom Bulb Sale, they will answer all your questions and help you to make some great selections from some unusual heirloom varieties. Go to LandrethSeeds.com, L-A-N-D-R-E-T-H, Seeds.com, or find them on Facebook at Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. 4. All right, now I was going to, let's do this and then we'll do the other one.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you can eat, grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
These are some of the things I've read about the book. So,
We just went to Canada. Because
can't get enough.
I can't. You know, we could listen in. But I was going to... That's usually the slot reserved for my music.
Oh, for the CD.
So, for the CD. So, I hit that. And instead, I got...
Do we have CD?
I'm going to go without it. See, there's Canada. Okay, she's got her interview going on there. No, let's just go right to the phones. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And on the phone, I am very pleased to have the mayor of Highland Park, Nancy. Is it Rotering? Rotering? How do you pronounce it, Nancy?
It's Rotering, Mike.
Rotering. Good morning. Okay, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm looking forward to getting out and planting my bulbs now.
Are you? Do you do that yourself, or do you have people do that for you, Nancy?
If you count my 4 kids and my husband as my people.
That's great. Basically the 18th and 19th, but also kind of you're doing something on the 17th. It's Greentown Highland Park, it looks like it's going to be a great event. There's 3 Greentowns being done this fall, and you can find the information about them on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. There was Greentown Valparaiso, which was just a couple of weeks ago. Then on the 18th and 19th, we have Greentown Highland Park, and then later in the fall, Greentown Toledo, Ohio. That is put together by A5, which is a Chicago-based marketing and communications firm, and 7 Generations Ahead. Gary Kunin is on the line also from 7 Generations. How you doing, Gary?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being on the show. I'm going to start with the mayor first, though. And this may sound like a strange question, but there are a lot of Green Fests, more and more, it seems. Every time I turn around, I'm tripping over a Green Fest. And not to knock what you're doing, because I've seen the rundown, and it looks fabulous. So I guess my question to you, Mayor, is how does a mayor get talked into this? What made you think that this would be good for Highland Park?
Oh, there was no talking into needed. Highland Park has a long history of sustainability initiatives. In 2010, we adopted a comprehensive sustainability plan. And we just, at City Hall, are constantly interested in the interplay between environmental sustainability and community sustainability. So that's sort of where we went with John and with Gary in planning this conference. And that's why you see such a broad range of speakers and topics that are going to be covered over those 2 days.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed by the lineup. It just goes on and on and on. And it includes, of course, you and Gary, but people like Deborah Shore from the Water Reclamation District, and you've got Mark Fenton, host of America's Walking on PBS. You've got workshops all at the same time, but in different tracks. Protecting our natural resources with state and water conservation strategies and sustainable landscapes. Carol Becker from the Midwest Ecological Landscape Alliance, which I am the co-founder of, and I'm glad to see that they are involved in that, and people like WRD Environmental and P-Zone Associates. Just, it sounds like great stuff. Gary, you're one of the people, and when the mayor referred to John, she was talking John Harris from A5, but Seven Generations Ahead has been involved in this from the get-go, haven't they?
We have. It's a really big part of our broad mission to educate local leaders, municipal, private sector, community sector leaders about not only best practices across a broad range of topic areas. And again, we'll be covering renewable energy, energy efficiency, waste reduction, water, food, all of the topics that most communities have to face with regard to sustainability. But we're trying to get the leaders involved. So we're going to have several mayors, city managers, owners of companies, and as well as just community folks who are interested in sustainability. And it's a good role for an organization like ours. We're an 11-year-old sustainable communities nonprofit, and it's a good way for us to be able to promote these practices.
Well, that's kind of the whole point of this, of the Greentown series, is bringing municipalities together with leaders in these various disciplines, with organizations like yours. Mayor, who are you working with? What kind of cooperation do you have among the suburban areas? I imagine City of Chicago. What kind of work have you been doing in Highland Park, and who are you talking to these days about sustainability?
Well, on the government level, we're talking to Evanston, and we're doing a lot of work with Deerfield. But within our own city boundaries, we're doing a lot of collaborating across our sister governments. The Green Initiatives Alliance was started probably about 4 years ago, and it gives us the opportunity to work with the schools, work with the park district, work with the county, and collaborate not only just on environmental projects, but looking into shared services and opportunities to find efficiencies. And that sort of circles back to our, you know, sustainability beyond environmental matters, which, of course, are sort of the crux and the beginning of all of this, but then branches out into the sustainability of the community. How do you make a community where generations can stay and be together? How do you create a community that improves mobility and connectivity between neighborhoods? So it's sort of got its genesis from environmental sustainability, but now we're working together with all these different government groups in terms of improving our environment socially, economically, as well as naturally.
I would ask, is it hard? Does it get harder as the municipality gets larger to be sustainable, or is it actually easier? And I use as an example, obviously, City of Chicago. I'm president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition, and, you know, still waiting for that to happen in the city. We've got the promise of finishing the rollout of Blue Cart by the end of next year. Whether that will happen is, you know, here we are in October, and there's not a lot being said about it. And I always look to the suburbs with envy, because you guys get recycling done. But I imagine that being smaller also has its drawbacks too, wouldn't you say, Mayor?
I disagree, Mike. We have a lot of dedicated, interested community volunteers. People like your sponsor, Peggy Malecki, lives in Highland Park of Natural Awakenings. We've got a number of members of Active Transit who are in Highland Park. And so from the community, from the grassroots, we see all kinds of enthusiasm and interest in bringing things like comprehensive bike walk plans, like piloting a food scrap composting program. It really is a lot of fun because we are able to take these ideas and run with them and put them out there in a way that does have an impact, that then develops some momentum and really gets us a sense of accomplishment.
Well, see, there, I guess I should be jealous because you're getting
come
that.
Come and join us.
Yeah. That's Nancy Rotering, who's the mayor of Highland Park. Gary Kunin from Seven Generations Ahead is also on the phone. We're talking about Greentown Highland Park. That is the 18th and 19th of October. If people want to get involved, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, or you can go to GreentownConference.com. Where's this? Actually, before I get to where this is all going to be in the exact times and that sort of thing. Gary, I want to get back to you and also you, Mayor, because the thing that I'm very excited about, and I think I'm going to schlep up there just to be part of it, is the Thursday pre-conference, you call it, but from 1 to 5, you're doing a seminar called Waste Not, Advancing Commercial Food Scrap Collection in the Chicago Area. I talked about that earlier on the program today. This is so important that we figure out what to do with our food scraps, not just food scraps, but yard waste and that sort of thing, all that organic stuff, but especially food, because we just throw so much stuff away. And the fact that you're going to talk about it for 4 hours is very exciting. Gary, do you want to comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, this is we're excited equally. This is something we've been planning for about 5 months now, and we've pulled together the two solid waste agencies in Lake County and Northern Cook County, as well as the four county governments from Kane, DuPage, Cook, and Lake. And the top leaders of those organizations have worked with us to piece together a program that's pulling in experts from literally across the country that are doing commercial food scrap collection programs that are really, you know, figuring out what are the issues in relation to equipment needs on site, to hauling, to making sure that there's route density so that there's actually economic viability with these food scrap collection programs. And then looking at some of the links between commercial food scrap collection and residential. And as you know, Mike, this whole idea of collecting food scraps is a critical strategy for reducing overall materials to landfill, and that's the big goal. Not only within the Highland Park Sustainability Plan, but regionally. And so this session is going to bring in some of the top experts on this area, as well as the people in all of the counties I mentioned that are either generating food scraps, or they're collecting them through their compost sites, or they're the haulers themselves. And so we've got all the stakeholders in the room, and this one's almost reached its capacity. So if you want to come to this session, folks, just make sure that you sign up quickly because we're running out of space. It's going to be a good one.
Well, that's a good point to make. That and I'm glad that that's happening. But and I think the reason it is, as you say, this is so important to get this done. I was impressed, Mayor, and we've just had a couple of minutes here, but you said you're already doing some food scrap collecting in Highland Park.
Right, and that also came from a resident initiative. People said, we know that these programs are available. We want to see this moving forward. And what we've noticed is, in particular, waste reduction, zero waste, and also just improving the health of our soil, they're all projects that the kids have been working on. The K-8 crowd has been working on these at school for years and then coming home and feeling uncomfortable that they don't have these opportunities at home. So we have the opportunity now to learn from our kids and to create these new habits moving up in the generations. Looking forward to a very strong high school participation in this conference. And again, it's so important to get our future leaders on board and making these habits really part of their lives and part of their what they bring to the table moving forward.
Yeah, it's those darn kids. Yeah, they're always doing that to us, making us, you know, get into the 21st century. Well, what's that all about? your phone's starting to break up on me a little bit there, Mayor, so I'm going to have Gary tell us where and when people should show up for Greentown Highland Park.
So Wednesday, October 17th is our Greentown at the Movies event, and there you can go to dinner at a Highland Park restaurant and then at 7 o'clock at the Renaissance Place Theater. You can go and watch an extraordinary film called Wasteland. It's won awards at the Sundance Film Festival. And then on Thursday, October 18th, is the pre-conference sessions, one by the Midwest Ecological Landscape Association, the other on food scraps that we just talked about. And then on Friday at the Art Center in Highland Park, we'll be doing the main conference, which is going to feature all of the keynotes and the workshops that are listed in the agenda that you've referenced. And that's a full day. And afterwards, we end the day with a microbrew reception and social networking event, which gives people an opportunity to make connections and take all of their learning and translate it into action.
And this is at the Art Center downtown Highland Park. What's the address of that, Mayor?
The address for the Art Center? I don't have it on the top of my head.
1957 Sheridan Road.
Ah, there we go. I couldn't find it there either. You might want to make it a little more prominent on the website. 1957 Sheridan Road. Well, thank you both, and congratulations on this. This sounds like a fabulous event. I hope to see you guys up there, and thank you for taking the time, Mayor Nancy Rotering and Gary Kunin from Seven Generations Ahead, and we'll see you at Greentown.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have about a minute.
Wow. That was a really fast 2 hours.
It goes...
There was a lot of information
now
today.
Does it go faster on Saturday with the Mighty House or faster here on the Mike Novak Show?
You know what? It felt the same, but they had...
But Mighty House is not doing, you know, simulcasts with Canadian radio stations. Yeah. Mike Sanders, he's got his head in his hands there in the control room. He's saying, what's wrong with you, Novak? What's wrong with you, pal? No, it was a great show. Sarah Batka, thank you, as always, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
It was fun. And Lisa Albrecht, both of you are going to stop by again, and we'll do this in the future.
Love to be back.
All right. And Denny.
Hey.
And
you.
Mr. Sanders, thank you for your technical help for our simulcast.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Grow green or...
go home.
Hey.